There have been some all-time examples of just dominance in sports. Georgia Tech, 1916, they beat Cumberland College 222-0. The Chicago Bears beat the Redskins 73-0 in 1940 to win the NFL championship. Not the Super Bowl. It was not the Super Bowl yet. And the Auburn Tigers beat Winthrop last weekend by a cumulative score of 24-1. Welcome into the Barn Baseball Show. Lindsey Crosby, Clinton DeShera. Brad Law is back the end of the week to preview Missouri. Sonny, have you ever been part of, or I guess, what's the most dominant like series win that you've been a part of in your baseball career? Because 10-0, 6-0, 8-1 feels like it's got to be up there.
Yeah. I've been on the opposite side of some dominance, like in the minor leagues. When you get beat six games in a row, that's some dominance by one team. But I don't know. This weekend was a pretty big exclamation mark on how our pitching staff is. I think that by far is the most dominant I've seen. They almost had single digit hits. I think they barely squeaked out 10 at the end there on the weekend. But it's like, it's just crazy that that's even a possibility, because you could play, you know, a junior college team and they could go up and put up more runs than one on a weekend. It just shows how good our pitching staff is.
Yeah, I'm doing the math real quick. It looks like it ended up being a total of 14 hits on the entire weekend for Winthrop, which is nuts. Three in game one, three in game two. The lone run that Auburn gave up, the third inning of the final game, leadoff double for Winthrop. They sacrifice him to third, and then a single through the left side scores them, and that's it. That's the only run. Is Petrovic getting a little bit of grief for giving up the only run on the weekend, or guys giving him a little bit of a hard time? Like, hey, buddy, you know, you got to be a little better than that. or is it just one of those, like, this happens.
He already apologized. Nice. Said, sorry for being the one guy.
He's like, hey, guys, sorry about that. Yeah, just a fantastic weekend for Auburn baseball. I want to get to a bunch of stuff, but we kind of got to start with that pitching. Obviously, we knew the starters were really good. I mean, we've known that. Jake Marciano goes six innings, six strikeouts on Friday night. Game one on Saturday is Jackson Sanders, seven innings, two hits, one walk, 10 strikeouts. I think he got pitcher of the week for that yesterday. And then Petrovic getting banged by a rain delay, and Christian Chatterton comes in behind him and gives up, you know, and just three hits, three strikeouts, and 2 2/3. How tough is it on a thing like that, where you have a 2+ hour rain delay at the end of a doubleheader day, you lose your starting pitcher, and you've got to go and call on somebody else to, like, hey, we need you to help us out here and step into, in essence, kind of like a start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just not ever fun for anybody involved. The 2 hour rain delay, it's hard to be locked in when you come back, but you know, we came back, we were hitting, and I think we got out quick. And then Chat rolls out, and, you know, somebody hits the ball right at Chris, makes a nice diving play. Mm-hmm. And then a couple innings later, somebody hits a chopper to EG. He runs through and makes a nice play. So just the fact, I think that if we don't have that happen, I don't know if we bounce back as strongly as we did and as quickly as we did. But, like, those two plays happening after a 2.5 hour rain delay just kind of showed, okay, we're still playing baseball. So it was – it's definitely right. Like you said, you got to treat it like a start for Chad, which he did all last year. So it was kind of a right man, right spot for him.
And I do think that getting that great defense, that's kind of something I wanted to get to here, that getting that great defense early does really help. We've seen Butch talk about this, right? Like, Butch talked about sacrificing a little bit of defense for a more well-rounded offense. He said in preseason, a lot of other teams in the conference have successfully made that trade-off. And so he was open to the concept of doing it where he hasn't been in the past. But this was the first weekend that we saw Brandon McCrane at shortstop. And I've got to be honest, the defense, especially on Friday, was really, really good with McCrane at short, Guevara back at third, and what looks like a fully healthy Chris Rimbert at second base. Is it like, it feels like this just might be what you got to roll with in the conference play, given how well it worked last weekend.
Yeah. I mean, that's Brandon's natural spot. He's a middle guy. And sometimes when you swing those middle guys out to the corners, they aren't as athletic as they appear. You know, Brandon's a freak of an athlete. He's 6'2", 6'3". He's fast. I mean, you could throw him in center field if you wanted to, too. But the good thing is Brandon can, anytime it's needed, he can swing out to the corners. He can swing out to the outfield when it's needed. So I think he just felt a sense of comfortability. I think all fall, too, he played a lot of shortstop, and he got more comfortable playing shortstop. So it's just, that's just how it is with some guys. It's hard to explain it, but some guys see the game better from the middle of the field than they do on the corners.
The angles are different. I mean, and I feel like when you're playing first and third, the difference in that in short, and full disclosure, being a lefty, I never really got a chance to play shortstop after like T-ball simply because, you know, you have to move somewhere else. But it feels like when you're playing the corner infield, whether it's third or first, a lot of it is predicated on your first step and just having that quick twitch reaction. And that first movement being the right one. You kind of run out of time to use like your speed. It's just a matter of, you know, diving to get that ball before it's down the line. Whereas shortstop, you need to have a good first step, but you've got more time where your speed can get you, you know, to a ball in the hole, things like that. It kind of feels like it's almost a different animal playing the corners versus playing the middle.
Yeah, it really is. It's, you know, the only thing I ever played in my life was first, third pitcher and catcher. So I never got to see in game what it looks like. But like whenever I'm out there just shagging BP or whatever, just kind of looking around, it is a different, it's hard to explain. Like you just have on the corners, people think, oh, you got less time, when in reality you have more time because you get the ball quicker and you got more time to think when you have the ball. And then when you're in the middle, you got to field and go. And so I think that aspect of letting his long levers and just being able to just go quick. And I think that just kind of helps him out and helps him be comfortable. He just looks more comfortable to me there, I thought.
Yeah, he does. And I think that's a good point. It's like, where is the time? At the corners, the time is after you get the ball. Up the middle, the time is on your way to the ball, and you got to be ready to go as soon as you get it. I think it's a good, that's a good way to put it. I like that. Because the extra distance the ball has to travel. I hadn't thought about it from that perspective, but that makes a lot of sense.
It's just more catch and throw. It's short and second. Whereas third and first is a catch, hold, and throw, if that makes sense.
Yeah. You have time to get set and, you know, in your footwork and make the throw. We're at short. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of the shortstops that play multiple sports, you see those guys, like, they're the quarterbacks because they can throw really well off platform. Because it's so you have to get it and get it out quickly, whereas third, you can set your feet and show off the arm strength and all of that. How was your arm at third base, Sonny DeShera?
I didn't play third. I got to high school, I stopped playing third, so I don't even know.
There you go. Okay.
I couldn't tell you.
just another weekend for Auburn. I think the big thing, kind of getting back to the pitching for a minute, the big thing there is, you saw the plan work. You used two guys in game one. You used two guys in game two. You used four ultimately in game three because you had the short start, not his fault, from Petrovic. Going into a doubleheader, knowing that, like, hey, they threw four dudes, we used two. We've talked about it, I feel like, a couple different weekends now. Like, it just... you've got to know that, like, we have such an advantage here just on that basis. Never mind the advantages we already assumed we had based off of talent level and things like that. There's nothing different here. It's just Marciano's a dog, right? Like, that's what it is.
And Sanders, like, it's like, you know, obviously if that stands, you know, we're using two guys every night, then we're going to be pretty dang good.
Yeah.
But
it's hard to get guys playtime when you, like, hard to get, like, some of your depth guys some experience when they never get the game.
Like when we do, you know, our middle of the week live at bats for the guys who, the pitchers that didn't get a throw in the weekend, it's like, it's not on purpose that they're not throwing. It's just like, you know, we're either in a close game or the starter's going 5, 6, or 7 innings and you don't need them, which is, you know, a good problem to have. But you're right. The development of it is like, well, shoot, we need to get him in, type of thing.
it, you know, these guys some experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do want to point out for Marciano, he only walked one and only gave up three hits. He did hit four guys. I know that Butch talks a lot about throwing strikes and not giving up free passes. I'm assuming that when they do the internal evaluations of these guys, they're counting the hit batters in with the walks. And so it's like, you know, three hits, but five guys given first base through either a walk or a hit batter.
Yeah.
I feel like he did a good job of battling through that, though. It's probably more traffic than he's had in a lot of the starts he's made this year.
Yeah, he was in the stretch. I think they got the leadoff man on every time from what BT was saying.
Really?
So he was in the stretch the whole time, but he still, you know, was able to just find a way. I'm pretty sure Winthrop leads the country in hit by pitches too.
Like they're on. They aggressively go to that. Yeah.
Like Nebraska was the same way. They just did not move and they were all over the plate. And you know, Marciano's game, if he's not throwing in, it's not going to work for him. Yeah. How he does. Him throwing in unlocks his whole arsenal. And he's so good at throwing in, which makes him, that's why he's such a good pitcher.
So what you're saying is the game plan for everybody should just be crowd the plate with all your dudes against Marciano so that he has to like give you free bases.
Right. I mean, that's what it seems like they're doing.
Yeah.
But he don't care. He's just going to freaking throw it in there. And then after he does that, whatever he does, I don't know. I wish I could stand in the box against him and see what it looks like, but it's just dude pitches. Truly he pitches.
It feels like it'd be a little bit of an uncomfortable at bat, honestly. Yes. It really does.
Anytime a lefty's throwing in, it's a tough at bat because it's just got a different little angle on it.
All right. In just a minute, I want to talk about the offense, what they did over the weekend, and kind of some of the standouts. We'll do that next right here on the Barn Baseball Show. Welcome back to the Barn Baseball Show. Lindsey Crosby, Auburn baseball legends, Honey the Shara, current first base coach for the team. Brad Law is going to be back with us later in the week to preview Missouri before he heads out of town to go call that series for Auburn Radio. But when you look at the offense, and I got the email from SID George late in the night on Saturday with all of the stats, the Tigers had 11 extra base hits. Like 11 of their 32 were extra base hits. The team slugged .559 on the weekend. And like, yeah, there was four home runs, but it really felt like Auburn just in almost every single inning was getting multiple guys on base and had an opportunity to score, even though it didn't necessarily always get converted. Was that the feeling that you had at first base, just seeing everybody in the lineup come through your office, or what was that like?
Everybody, I mean, it just seemed like we had somebody there all the time, and that's a good problem. But, you know, being able to convert like we did is obviously great because, you know, you're not always going to score 10 runs every time. But them learning and how the season started with the struggle of getting runs in and now how they've kind of rebounded and kind of shown like, hey, we'll bunt our three hole and get everybody over. And then our next guy will hit a sac fly or our next guy hit a single. We're learning how to score runs, which is very, very important, which we didn't see that early on, which I think they kind of took it personally.
Yeah. Looking at this here, while you were talking, I was checking this out. Every single position player that was in the lineup for at all this weekend, everybody got on base at least once.
Yep.
Actually, matter of fact, everybody but one got on twice. Wow. There was only one person that only got on one time. You probably didn't get to talk to Taylor Belza a lot because his one hit was a home run.
Yeah, he ran around the bases. He didn't get anything on base.
Exactly. But everybody else, got on at least twice. And I find it really interesting. Like, Auburn stole six bags. Bristol Carter had three of those. But to your point, it just felt like it was really good at – I mean, there was two sacrifice flies, two more sacrifice hits. Just – passing the baton, getting guys over, getting them in. I do think, though, a lot of this has been like you did it against Winthrop, but nothing against Winthrop, right?
Yeah.
Is the pattern that we saw there replicable against a Missouri or against the week after that against a Texas and things like that? Or is it kind of like the MLB postseason where you probably need to lean a little more into power production when you get into conference play because it's so hard sometimes to string together multiple hits against some of these SEC starters?
Yeah, you know, that's obviously a huge point that the guys, the caliber that, nothing against Winthrop, right? But the caliber that we were seeing is not what we are going to see. Mm-hmm. But still the ability to be able to practice scoring runs and getting guys on and knowing what the situation looks like. It doesn't matter if you're doing that in coach pitch or if you're doing that against, you know, Winthrop. Like, it being able to do that before you head into conference is kind of a big, like tonight, we got to do it tonight too. Hopefully we can do the same, have the same game plan. We're looking at whatever Coach Thompson said is 6 runs. If we get to 6, that's what he's been preaching. Then our record is it's like 75% of games we're winning if we get to 6 runs. And when we score 5, it's like 30% of games that we win. It's crazy that one run just kind of dictates that much different win percentage. But, you know, when going to Mizzou, it's not going to be as cold as it normally is early in the year, which is great. So there could be some great baseball be played, and I think that'll be a good intro to the guys who haven't played an SEC series.
I was about to say, like, it's almost like a soft landing into SEC play. This will only be the second road trip for the team. I know we're kind of getting ahead of everything because we're not overlooking UAB, everybody. We're not overlooking the UAB. But when you think about the road trip going to see Missouri, getting acclimated to an SEC road environment and doing it against a team that's not projected to be at the top of the league. How nice is that as far as like a soft landing, kind of like an easy way to break into conference play versus having to do something like go into LSU in week one or something?
Yeah. You know, sometimes it is harder to play at a place like Missouri where, you know, they don't have the grandstand and, you know, they don't have, how they're not going to have 5,000 people show up and everybody in the dugout is going to be wearing jackets and gloves. And it's harder to play in a place like that because how are you supposed to build your own, you know, intensity and build your own crowd involvement when there is no crowd and get yourself going? Like, I was that way. I thought it was harder playing at places like that. I mean, I played at freaking Virginia Military Institute on their field where there was 20 fans. You know, it's hard to play at a place like that. It's much easier to play at a place like LSU, Arkansas, because you're just looking around like, oh, it's so cool. And you kind of tone out everything. That's how I looked at it. And hopefully that's how our guys look at it, because hopefully the bigger the stage gets, the easier it gets for them.
Yeah. And to your point, some of these guys just haven't really at least done it on the field. Brandon McCrane, Mason McCrane, Ethan Bingaman, they haven't been in these environments yet. And so showing them how to get, you know, themselves hyped up for a road weekend like that, it's going to be big before you then have to do it for real. Mm-hmm. I do want to give a shout out to Todd Clay. He got his first hit of the season over the weekend. I know that it's happened very seldomly, but like, you've been in slumps before.
Yeah.
At a certain point, like, how much is it just all kind of like, how much are you telling yourself like, hey, I've got good process, I'm hitting the ball hard, they're just not falling, keep doing what I'm doing? And how much of that is just like beating your head of, oh man, like, I'm not going to get to play anymore if I can't do this, if you start pressing? Like, how hard is that?
Yeah. You know, at some point when you get to what he was at, 0 for 16, 17, whatever it was.
17, I think, yeah.
There's just some unluckiness in there too.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hard. Like, I started out my AAA season like 0 for 15 maybe.
Ooh.
And it's hard to just sit there and like not want to change everything and change the world. And we know it's Todd did a good job with that. He just kind of stuck to it and just, he was just more confused and mad. And I just kind of helped him just being like, hey man, it is what it is. That's the process. And it stinks. But, you know, once you finally get that first hit, it's going to be a breath of fresh air. The whole world's going to get off your back. And every time everybody gets their first hit of the season, I always tell them, welcome to the season. His was a little delayed, but I got him.
His was a double, so he didn't even stop at your bag either.
Yeah, no. I had to tell him the dugout.
There you go. I do want to point out that AAA thing for you. You're right. It was like 14 or something at bats, but you scored multiple times before you got that first hit. Like, you were getting on base.
I was getting on base, but I was just getting out.
Yeah, yeah. You just weren't the balls weren't falling for hits. That was kind of the thing.
So. No, like I was facing Dallas Keuchel. And
gross.
That's I hit a changeup and I thought I hit a homer. And they just jumped and caught it on the wall. I thought my first triple A was going to be off Keiko, but it wasn't.
It's like, hey, here's a Cy Young winner and a two-time All-Star to, you know, for your welcome to AAA thing here. That's fun. definitely a change. I mentioned him a minute ago. I do want to bring up one last time kind of the McCrane brothers, Brandon and Mason. We talked about Brandon. Mason has five more RBI this weekend. He has a double. He's a homer shy of the cycle for the weekend, right? He gets a double, a triple, a couple singles. How big has it been just getting his arm and his bat out there in right field? We saw he had, I think he had one tough play that he didn't make the catch in right. But other than that, it feels like he's kind of been that surprise contributor that he probably always had it in him, but we just didn't really know it. And it didn't get out until he got an opportunity and ran with it.
Yeah. You know, he's just a gamer, man. He, cause you know, this fall he was pitching too.
Yeah.
And, it's hard cause I was a two-way guy my freshman year and it's just hard to balance the both. It really is in the fall. And he did a great job hitting. I thought he's just a good player. And, he got his opportunity. He's just one of those guys who's just such a freak. And when he gets in the box, it's just, it's different. He the game is slow for him in the box. And it's him getting all these RBIs is just, it's awesome to see. That's hard to do as a freshman. It's hard to get up there and see guys on base and be like, oh, I'm going to be the hero, hit a homer. But he's sitting there slapping backside singles and pull side 10-foot high doubles to right center. It's just, it's good to see.
That was the big thing to me is just seeing how willing he was to, I'm not going to say sacrifice the at bat because it worked out, but to like, hey, I'm going to put the ball in play. Like, I'm just going to, like, I'm going to shorten the swing. I'm going to kind of, you know, kind of slash at it, get it, you know, get it down the opposite line and get on base, move a guy over. And I feel like that's one of the toughest things for the freshmen to do, especially one who have had early success, because it's so easy for that to go to your head and for these guys to be like, hey, I just got to get the ball in play.
Yeah.
And I'd be willing to do that. That stood out to me a lot. It kind of feels like at this point, you can't take Mason or Brandon out of the lineup at this point.
No, it's funny to see McCrane on the scoreboard. Yeah. And they're a good duo. Like when the thing happened with that center field ball, Brandon hit off a center field wall. Yeah. I thought the guy caught it. I don't know if you had a better view of it. I thought it tipped off his glove and then he caught it. But they're saying that it tipped off the wall, hit whatever. And they said Brandon passed Mason on the bases.
Ooh,
and that's why he was out.
Yeah.
But the umpire, we didn't see like any discreet, like out save. He didn't call anything, whatever, but they were both just standing there and I was just looking at him and the words they were saying were just like, you guys are just goobers, man.
Yeah.
They're just brothers. Literally just brothers.
It's wild that Mason's made 9 starts, played only 11 games. He's already second on the team in RBI behind only Chase Fralick, which Chase's power.
It's coming in.
We knew he had it in him last year, but really seeing that growth from year one to year two on that has been a big deal, I think, for me.
Yeah. Just
him being able to get out like that. Who's the next guy you think that has power that we're not seeing in games that's going to show up? Like Guevara's second on the team with 3 homers. Yeah. You know, Bub's only got 2. Bub feels like the guy to me that he's got the capacity in him to hit more. We just haven't seen him yet.
Yeah, Bub, I was going to say Bingaman too. Right. Like we saw him hit
2 in Arlington. Yeah.
Yeah. He made Arlington look tiny. And then, you know, just like any freshman hitter, they go through a week where it's like, man, what? Or a couple of weeks where like, why is the dang ball not hitting the ground every time he hits it? So it's like he's hitting the ball hard and his consistent. He just knows how to backspin that thing. And Bub the same. Bub's got unlimited juice. So it's just a matter of when they start coming. Cause the good thing is they're not trying to hit homers. That's the worst thing you can do is try to hit homers. So they'll start coming.
Yeah.
And if they don't, you know, their approaches have been great. Bub's hitting backside singles too. Yeah. You know, those are all, nobody will defend those. So you can't defend homers. You can't defend backside singles.
Yep. Those are the two things that, it just feels like this team's gotten pretty good at doing is like, and again, it's that selfless nature that everybody in the lineup has. It's like, hey, we gotta, my job, like, the at-bat's no longer mine. Like, I got to do this job for Auburn baseball. It's not my at-bat. It's Auburn baseball's at-bat. I got to do that. Yeah. So I think that's a good point. All right. So as Sonny mentioned earlier, Auburn takes on UAB tonight at, I believe it's at 6 p.m. Yeah. tonight at 6 p.m. And then you guys are heading out for Missouri over the weekend. 6 p.m. on Friday, 4 p.m. on Saturday, 11 a.m. on Sunday. So a little bit of an earlier start time for that. Again, Brad and I will be back later this week to preview the Missouri series. But for Sonny DeShera, I'm Lindsey Crosby. This has been the Barn Baseball.